Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An Odyssey Station. This. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. I ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say.
Today on the show, Dan Devine is going to join us. He is from The Ringer, and he writes brilliantly about the NBA and basketball. And so he'll talk to us about what happened last night, both in Memphis and beyond. Chris Harrington will join us at 10 o'clock. Also writes brilliantly about the NBA, the Grizzlies, and basketball for the Daily Memphian. You can read Chris's stuff over there at the Daily Memphian, and you can listen in at 10 o'clock. And then had to make a tough call, Jeffrey. Kevin Cerrito has been a stalwart for us.
No question.
Every Thursday.
Just the ultimate, consummate professional. Just shows up every game.
In the midst of a
consistent,
very difficult season
yes.
for him. Has brought joy. And given your recent losing streak.
Yes. Joy to the listeners.
Joy and prizes to
yes.
the listeners. And not only that, we may have be able to continue.
Thanks to him.
Trivia, literally only thanks to Kevin Cerrito. He's coming with his own prizes.
Exactly.
Now. I made the hard call that I think we got to talk to the people.
Yeah.
After last.
It's a playoff run.
After last night.
Are we calling it a players only meeting? When we talk to the fans?
No. We have the players only meeting with the fans. Yeah. No. How do you feel? After last night, not like your explication.
No. Just
what
big
is your
picture.
Not even about where the series is going to go. Your emotions.
Exhaustion.
Yeah. By the way, this whole idea that Gary gave Gary on his show, we raised the same question about what time do you get to sleep? If any of you want to tweet me what time you got to sleep, you think you were actually boom out. You think I set the over-under for people at 1140.
Correct. In fairness to
blew
you.
Blew through the over.
You did not expect the game
to be like. I did not expect 700 fouls.
Well, and on top of that, you didn't expect. The game got held to like 922, the start.
Yeah, although I did. I didn't say it out loud yesterday, but that is, if you're the last game, you know, people are watching the next.
Or whatever. Correct.
It's always, it's just like an NCAA tournament game. Like,
right. I think we had built in like 10 minutes. But
it was more. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't go to sleep.
We breezed through that over-under.
Until 3.
Just like the BetQL bet of the day.
And then it was in all kinds of different ways absolutely epic. I don't know how you could just put that down upon watching it, even if you didn't have to write a column, as I did, which you can read at the Daily Memphian. I don't know how you just put that down and nod off within a minute of the end of that.
It's the power of Ja.
I mean, it was...
When he's going nuts, you have to watch.
Well, and then once you watch, you have to digest it. There was a hell of a lot that happened in that game.
Oh, yeah.
A hell of a lot that happened in that game. And I couldn't, even if I wasn't writing, I couldn't just lay it, my emotions down and just nod off to sleep, for God's sakes. So what's your exhausted is one. You're exhausted. I too am exhausted. Are you proud? Are you excited? Are you angry? Are you wrought up? Are you thrilled? Are you hopeful? Are you...
Oddly encouraged, I think, is what I would go with.
It is funny. I was talking to... Maybe we'll make this a poll later. I was talking to someone after the game. And they lost last night. At one point, they're down by 22.
Yes.
A lot of things went wrong for them, right? They didn't hit three-point shots. Utah hit three-point shots. They got beat on the boards. 22 second-chance points. Like, the bench was terrible. Obviously, foul trouble. You want to say shafted by the officials, whatever else.
Let's also emphasize, bench is terrible. 43-13 is what they were outscored.
Terrible.
Yes.
And it's not like they weren't called upon.
No, they had plenty of opportunity.
Plenty of opportunity. And God bless Grayson. Special kind of awful.
He did make a really smart foul on Gobert and got him to miss two free throws.
Right. So there were a lot of things. Given all the things that went bad, and there were a lot of things that went bad, I like you... You know where I am? I can't wait for game 3.
Yes.
I am. My fundamental takeaway from last night is I can't wait for game 3. I want Memphis fans to have a chance to get at them. Like, it is full on series. It is emotional. It is, like, in the end, you know, it was just like 12 minutes ago that we were like, you know, I kind of like Utah. I like Mike, and you know, they're the underdog team and overlooked. And I was saying this.
Yes.
I want Utah against Milwaukee. Screw Utah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm full on. You wonder where the bile comes from in a we think about, well, how come we don't hate people like we hated the Clippers anymore? Because you weren't in a playoff series.
Exactly. There's no question. That's what it really boils down to.
Playoff series produced the anger, and then. And this one, honestly, is really emotional.
Really contentious.
It is, for all kinds of reasons, really contentious and emotional. Or contentional, which is the way I was just fusing those two words together in my sleep.
If Shakespeare can do it, so can Hawkins.
So it was just, my biggest takeaway is I cannot wait to get to game 3. I will, by the way, later on in the show, talk to you about the ticket situation there and capacity and all of that, because there's been a lot of attention given to that. And my own view is, rather than screaming at people about it, maybe we should understand what's happening here. And I'm going to try to bring a little bit less heat and a little more light to the situation of what is happening with the Grizzlies and capacity. So we'll get into that as well. Get into all the reasons it's contentious in just a minute. As I was watching Ja last night, I couldn't help but reflect back on Michael Jordan's series against the Celtics, which was, I believe, his second season. He was, and it was highlighted in what the hell was the name of that
movie? The Last Dance.
In The Last Dance. Highlighted in The Last Dance. When the Celtics, it was at their apex. It was the...
Correct.
It was the daunting... I had season tickets to those Celtics. I didn't... I shared season tickets to the Celtics because I was a college student at the time. And when you went to those games, they just never lost. You went only to the games wondering, who do we want to see them beat tonight?
Yeah.
Like, it was... Yeah. It was... The Bird, Parrish, McHale, Dennis Johnson, Danny Ainge, Bill Wall. It was those Celtics. And
in the old garden.
In the old garden. And it was, and they just, they couldn't do anything. Like, the Celtics won the series, and Jordan won the moment. And it was sensational to watch. And that, to me, I don't know. When you look back at this night 5 years from now, if you'll remember so much what happened in the series, certainly if the Grizzlies end up losing the series, you won't be glorying in that. You will be remembering the night that Ja Morant had, which was ungodly. It was, it's been a little too bad that the Grizzlies as a franchise never have had a 50 piece. Still haven't had a 50 piece.
Correct.
But it's been Mike Miller had the previous record.
He did.
Mike Miller had the previous record.
Mike Miller had the previous franchise record for points in any game.
In any game.
And then Mike had it for the playoff game.
And in his second playoff game ever, at the tender age of 21, Ja Morant blew through both of them. Do we have, normally we don't play highlights after a loss, but I think given what we witnessed last night, we should, a brief Ja Morant only, no narration except for the brilliant narration from Eric Hasseltine, a Ja Morant only highlights package.
Mitchell runs into Gobert, loses the handle. Grabbed by Bain, out to Morant. He's down the floor, double clutch, two-handed jam and a timeout. Quinn Snyder. Morant into the front court, in his favors, lays it up, lays it in.
Beautiful move
by Ja Morant, down to an 11-point lead, 51-40. Morant with 14 and a timeout called by Quinn
Snyder. Wait, that was a time when he only had 14?
I know, right?
How the hell did that happen?
Just because you have
Morant
to score
right
in order.
Wing three, ring it up, put three on the board. Grizzlies needed it. 61-47. Morant around a screen, got tripped up, no foul, hangs, floats, scores, left baseline. Ja Morant with a beautiful shot on the left baseline. He now has 27. Morant terminates the dribble to Valanciunas, straightaway three, no good. Long rebound to Morant, to the rim, he lays it up and in. 6-point game, Quinn Snyder needs a timeout. Anderson to Morant, on an alley-oop, he flushes it home with a reverse jam. Morant with a 40-piece tonight, 121-106.
There was a lot more.
There were 47 points.
That was something. It was something else. And then he's sitting there leaning against the basket. Like, he plays the entire second half. And here's the thing. After the game, Josh said what you would expect, which is, doesn't mean anything, I didn't get the win, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about winning. And everyone would say that. Like,
sure.
You understand that.
You can't really revel
you can't,
it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
There have been a few NBA players along the way.
I would respect the hell out of it. Like, right. I would just sit there and go,
you see what I did?
Yeah, you're beautiful.
You see what I
Let
did?
Me paint you.
Right.
Listen,
no.
I did my job.
But here's the point. Like, of course Ja is about social media, and Ja is about getting his propers, and George and Ja is about all of those things, right? But ultimately, to me, the defining thing about his performance was he did it because he had to. He is, in fact, the reason he did it was because there was no way they were going to win or come close to winning unless he did it, because Jonas was out with foul trouble, and Dylan obviously had a good second half. Dylan was struggling with foul trouble, and Jaren Jackson Jr. was struggling with foul trouble and with being Jaren Jackson Jr., and the bench was, as previously established, not their greatest night. And so there you are in front of a raucous crowd, no one else to do it. Josh says, I'm going to do it. And he says, I'm going to do it with this monster in the middle. He only hit 2 3-pointers. I think it was 2 of 7 from three. He, in order to get those points, every single one of those points, well, practically all, except came from Ja Morant flinging himself into the lane against the most feared defensive player in the league, who, by the way, earlier had give Ja credit for trying to throw one down on him, had turned him away midair. Rudy Gobert wins that. Ja says, I'll be back. And then all night, he is back and back and back and back and back. It was absolutely thrilling. And it was just watching a superstar become a superstar. Like, it was unbelievable. And all throughout the, you know, Mark Stein of the New York Times saying, is it too late to vote for Ja for all NBA? Like, that's what you saw. That game was supposed to be about Donovan Mitchell's return. It was about Ja Morant not going anywhere. That's what it was about. The best player on the court last night was not Donovan Mitchell, although he was good.
He was very good.
He was damn good. I wish he was a little rustier.
Yeah, so much for thinking that would be an opportunity.
Not a lot of rust there from Donovan Mitchell. I hate him too now, though. You see how happy he looks all the time? Like, he's sort of quasi laughing all the time.
He's got kind of he's got kind of the schoolboy villain face. You know what I mean? He's always got that little smirk.
Schoolboy villain face. He runs Dylan off a screen and kind of jumps into him. Dylan gets called for the foul, and it is, I'm on his ass. I'm on his ass. Screw you. Like, the whole thing, but the best player on the court was Ja Morant. So I'm coming away from this performance last night thinking, my God, if you've got Ja Morant on your side,
who else do you need?
Someone else, maybe. Yeah. Just a little more help.
I mean,
you got home court advantage, you got Ja Morant on your side. Like, this is a series. They gave as good as they got in a game where it looked like they were going to be blown out. They're not going anywhere. And we're on to game three, and it's going to be wild. And then from a pessimist who I shall not name, not identify, the pessimist said, they got that from Ja Morant, and they still couldn't win. Like, they got all of that. Literally the best performance, most prolific performance in Grizzlies history, and they still really didn't come close to winning.
No, I mean,
against a fully loaded Utah team with Donovan Mitchell back, with like Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert just tearing them up on the pick and rolls, just eviscerating them. You can get anything you want. You can get a historic performance from Ja Morant, and you're not touching him.
Yeah.
Which way are you on that?
I mean, not to be totally wishy-washy. I viewed it as I'm somewhere in between. I thought on Sunday, everything that the Grizzlies needed to go right for them did go right for them. And then I thought last night, everything that the Grizzlies needed to go right for them went against them.
Yeah, everything went wrong for them went wrong for them.
Correct. And so
from the freaking start, when Jonas gets his second foul and he's sitting down, and you're like, oh, bloody hell. The truth of the matter is, the Grizz starters outscored
the Jazz starters.
The Jazz starters. So you can make an argument. All you need is a better whistle, a less tight whistle, and you can go head up against that team.
And you can also make this argument. The cliche does exist for a reason. Role players play better at home in the playoffs. And last night, it's really going to be more difficult for the Grizzlies. It's going to be pretty tough for the Grizzlies role players to play worse than they did. I mean, realistically, like, I know we always make the joke, like, sounds like a challenge. It's pretty tough to score fewer than 14 points and to be as bad as they were defensively.
Speaking of challenges.
Yeah. I didn't get that one.
Can we fire the challenge person with Taylor Jenkins? Like, I'm not trying to have a heads roll here.
Yeah, yeah.
But how you can, I just don't understand it. Like you don't challenge that critical moment against Golden State, and then last night, it was a clear foul. Dylan jumped into him. Yes, there was no chance that was going to be overturned.
So a couple of things I've noticed on the challenges. Obviously, with the Warriors one, that is.
Some of the last night might have been emotional. We're going to stick up for Dylan. We're going
to. I also think it was. We need a break. Like we need to break up the rhythm, whatnot. We need to do something. But it also did happen right in front of him, and I think it happens right in front of him, and he sees the shoulder lean. But I still don't know.
There was a shoulder lane, but
you can't jump on top of somebody. Like that's pretty obvious.
You can't jump on top of somebody.
But the other thing is, like, the other two challenges that stand out, the Warriors one, it was on the opposite end of the floor from him, and it was like also on the opposite baseline or the opposite, end line. The Spurs challenge, which he won, also was right in front of him. It seems like
he trusts his own eyes.
He trusts his eyes. And I do think you're right. I think there's a bit of a very calculated and planned. It does feel like sometimes the challenge button, if you will, a little emotional.
Well, listen, Steve Kerr challenged a foul by Draymond Green.
Sure.
And you got the sense he was just sticking up for Draymond Green. Draymond told he's and there was no chance that was going to be overturned either. Like Draymond absolutely fouled them, and so maybe that's it. But it was bizarre. Like, you're challenging this now? This is what we're challenging?
I understand people's like, oh, he leaned. It's like, he jumped on top of him, y'all.
Right. All right, what'd you think about the officiating?
So I don't buy – there were bad calls. Like, I do think the Valanciunas tech is one of the weaker techs I've ever seen in my entire life. I didn't think it was a specifically bad whistle against the Grizzlies. What I did think ended up being bad, it was a very tight whistle, and the Grizzlies do not need a tight whistle.
It was also, for whatever reason, they were a hell of a – first of all, let's agree on this. It totally ruins the game.
Oh, think about how much better the third quarter was to watch. Obviously, the Grizzlies scoring.
Right.
But the game had flow. When the whistle's blowing as much as it is, the game becomes so choppy, and it's just, like, excruciating to watch.
So, I mean, just whoever they're calling them on, it totally screws up the game. It was like, come on, seriously? It just dragged and dragged and dragged. A parade of foul shots. It's just stupid. Like, that's what we come to watch? Just ridiculous. And you're doing it because you want to have a tight whistle because it got chippy in game one or something.
Not letting this one get out of hand.
It's just, come on, man. And then... And the Grizzlies have some players who have a tendency to get in foul trouble, who then got in foul trouble because there was a tight whistle. But it's also true, like, there are moments when Jonas gets hit in the face on one end and then gets called for a cheap foul on the other end, which gets your hackles up.
Yeah, so, I've been making the joke all year that when Jonas gets hit in the head, it's just a common foul.
Right.
Well, we have an update in the playoffs. It's no call.
It's no call.
No.
I do think his size works against him there. He is mammoth man that people just say, I couldn't hurt him.
It's the same thing with like Shaq. Like Shaq didn't get a ton of calls because he's just so, whenever someone's so physically imposing, there's like, oh, come on, he didn't even get touched.
And when people, by the way, say the Grizzlies did not lose because of the officiating, fundamentally, I can agree with that. Like, they lost because Utah hit all those three-pointers. The Grizzlies didn't. The Grizzlies couldn't cover the pick and roll. The bench was crappy, like, whatever else. You can argue about Taylor Jenkins' small lineups if you want, right? Like, how'd that work out for you? Jaren Jackson Jr. as center. Like, it's just not working, right? Maybe it's time to break out Brandon. Whatever it is. You can argue whatever you want. Grayson Allen, the deployment of lots of reasons the Grizzlies lost. But the absence of their starters did set the tone. It absolutely set the tone.
There's no question, because the one thing that has become patently obvious during the playoffs, and I do think Taylor Jenkins deserves some credit for this, I think he's done a much better job staggering the starters to where he's trying to keep at least two or three on the floor at all times, which I think is.
It's funny. Everyone complained about that all bench lineup. I don't think they got killed at the end of that. At the end of the first quarter, where you put the all, second quarter where you put the all bench lineup in. I don't think they got particularly murdered during that stretch. They were awful throughout the game. Anytime they were deployed,
the toughest one I thought was at the end of the first half.
That's what I mean. At the end of the first half, it went all bench. That's what everyone was screaming.
I mean,
about.
It got down to like 12, and then it was 20 by the end. Like,
I look at the play-by-play. But anyway, so it could have been. My reaction to that all bench thing was, yeesh, and then I was thinking, well, that could have been worse. But there's no question that there's, but the absence of the starters meant something.
There's no question. I also though, but like what we're talking about, yes, I think it was a tight whistle and it definitely had an impact on the game. Can we also acknowledge like Dylan had two bad fouls?
Yes, he did.
Like,
and Pete and Brevin are very good about that. They're like, you know what? Don't do that.
Yeah, I didn't feel like the Grizzlies adjusted very well. Like, you knew it was very, it wasn't like, oh, the tight whistle just sprung up on them. It was like the first possession.
Right, yes.
I don't think the Grizzlies adjusted.
Got to be smarter. But to me, I came away from that. Again, my overwhelming thing was awe and gratitude that the Grizzlies have Ja Morant.
And playoff basketball's back.
Not just for this weekend, but for the next 10 years, right?
Like, at least.
That's the overall.
Maybe forever. Right? Who knows?
Maybe forever. And then it is, I hate that team. And I hate those fans. And I hate them in their little color-coordinated, in their little color-coordinated sections, and in their little coordinated boos, and their little, like, they think they're tough, booing Dylan Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And just, so I hate them, and I'm ready for FedEx Forum to unleash its bile upon the Utah Jazz. And I'm ready for game 3. That's my main takeaway.
And I think everyone is.
I will later on explain to y'all a little bit about Dennis O'Connor from the Grizzlies is going to be on with Jason and John. He's been on with us before, kind enough to come on to explain what's happening with the capacity issue. It's sort of fun. Like, it was wild in New York last night, right?
I thought that was a really cool scene to watch.
It was wild in New York last night. It was raucous in Utah last night. And now people are mad at the health department, and they're mad at the Grizzlies, and they're mad that it's not more than, roughly 10,000. And my understanding is it's going to stay at about 10,000. They're going to release some tickets today that, like, they have holds on, whatever. They have to have holds on tickets for the league or whatever else. Some tickets they have to hold back, they'll ultimately release those. And so there will be some, but they're not bumping it to 14,000. And people are angry about that. And I would go ahead and suggest that there are reasons that you probably don't need to waste your anger being angry about that. And maybe be a little understanding of that, but I'll explain that later. We're going to come back and talk to Dan Devine. In the meantime, I will tell you, if you don't know, the NBA playoffs are here. Yes, indeed. And FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating by hooking new users up with $100. Bet $1 on either team in the Heat-Bucks series. $1 on either team in the Heat-Bucks series. And by the way, that series is well underway. I'd probably go ahead and bet it on the Bucks. But you bet $1 on either team in the Heat-Bucks series, and FanDuel will give you $100 in side credit, even if your bet does not win. That's why it's America's number one sportsbook and the official partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. All you got to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with promo code Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, and turn your $100 into a big-time payday. It must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Side credit is not withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. First bet only. Offer is non-transferable. Terms and restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Back in a minute with Dan Devine, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's number one sports station.
Cooper Systems is in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679. That's the number. And this is Gary Parrish from the Gary Parrish Show. I've been telling you about Cooper Systems for years. It's the place to get any kind of computer you need. They've also been repairing computers, honestly, for decades, and nobody knows that better than this city's best consumer investigator ever, the legend Andy Wise.
Gary, I came to know Cooper Systems when I partnered with Lee and Lauren Cooper and their staff on an undercover investigation a couple of years ago on computer repair businesses. And Lee and his crack technicians helped me uncover some pretty bad deals. And they helped me hold these lesser computer repair shops accountable. You know, for over 26 years, Cooper Systems has been solving computer problems honestly and at a fair price. What I have discovered in my partnership with them is if you want reputation, if you want locally owned, if you want an impeccable record, you want Cooper Systems.
360-9679 is the number, 360-9679. If you want to deal with somebody you can trust, it's Cooper Systems, Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, coopersystems.com.
For all your computer needs, trust Cooper Systems to be your wise choice.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the buy five or more, save $1 each sale. Just buy five or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Believe Memphis. Round 1, 2021 playoff tickets for games 3 and 4 at FedEx Forum are on sale now at grizzlies.com/tickets or at the FedEx Forum box office. When your Grizzlies host the Utah Jazz this Saturday, May 29th and Monday, May 31st. For more information and game time updates, click grizzlies.com or follow at MemGrizz on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Hello, heavy lifters, newcomers, renters, and buyers. Welcome to your local Cat dealer, Thompson Machinery. Your home for Cat compact equipment and offers like 0% for 60 months. Visit tmcat.com/bigtimesupport. Terms and conditions apply.
Why so serious? So we're so fast if you are wrong. And all the right ways
are... Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
All right, is that a Q2 or a Q3 expense?
Dwayne's CPA went MIA. W9. To keep his books and his sanity, he needs to find a replacement ASAP.
Hey, Johnny. Have you ever heard of a fungible good?
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
How can your mortgage work for you instead of you simply working for your mortgage? Here to bring you the answers you need is Don Hulsinger, Chief Mortgage Officer with Orion Federal Credit Union, with this week's Mortgage Minute.
Buying a home is an important investment and a major life decision. It may be overwhelming trying to determine sales price, closing costs, loan amounts, loan to value, DTI, FHA, Fannie Mae, USDA, etc. Don't worry. Our team at Orion wants to work with you to make the process easy to navigate. Whether you want to go to our website and learn about the different options or speak to one of our mortgage lenders. We do this every day. We do it because it's incredibly rewarding to know you will be settled and in comfort owning your own home. To learn more, visit OrionHomeLoan.com or give us a call at 1-800-532-9025.
This Mortgage Minute has been provided to you by Orion Federal Credit Union. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Wendy's Frosty Chino is cold brew with frosty creamer. What does that mean? It means we took rich, smooth cold brew and then added your choice of vanilla or chocolate frosty creamer. Can you say good morning? Or better yet, Wendy's Frosty Chino? It's cold brew with frosty creamer. It's only at Wendy's and it's delicious. So ditch the stuffy coffee shop and say hasta la vista, barista. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's Frosty Chino and start your morning right.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey, it's Jason Smith, and Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Playoff basketball is here. Hey, it's Jeffrey Wright, and before you bet on any of the postseason games, you need to check out BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to help you make the smartest possible bets. Sometimes the spread is off by a few points, or the total is way too high or way too low. BetQL finds those opportunities so you can take advantage and cash in. Ready to win more consistently? Visit BetQL.com and use promo code WRIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T, for 20% off. That's 20% off with promo code WRIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T, at BetQL.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back at the Jeff Calkins Show. Going to be joined by Dan Devine here in just a moment. There is some news from the Grizzlies on seats. Do you have it there?
I do, Jeff. Jeff, the Memphis Grizzlies have announced a limited number of seats will be released for games 3 and 4 of the first round series between the Grizzlies and the Jazz. This statement reads as follows. A limited number of plaza and pinnacle level seats have been released for games 3 and 4 of the Memphis Grizzlies 2021 first-round series against the Jazz. The Grizzlies will host the Jazz at FedEx Forum in Game 3 on Saturday, May 29th, and Game 4 on Monday, May 31st. Tip-off for both games is 8:30 Central Time. A limited number of terrace-level tickets are also still available for purchase. Tickets are available for purchase by going online to grizzlies.com/tickets.
All right, my understanding is, again, this isn't going to be the free-for-all that they're having up there in Madison Square Garden, but it's just some tickets that were being held for various reasons, for league reasons and whatever else, are now being released. So you can get your tickets over there at the Grizzlies, at the online at the Grizzlies website. Joined now by Dan Devine. Dan Devine from The Ringer and a New York Knicks fan from way back. You must be in your glory, Dan.
I would like to note for the record that I had a call last night that ran until about 8:30, about 9:30 or so here on the East Coast. So I came back when it was the middle of the third quarter. The Knicks were down 70-58. You're welcome, New York Knicks fans. My arrival in front of the television coincided perfectly with the big run that they went on to close the third quarter. I think you can credit me. You can credit Nate McMillan for leaving Trae Young on the bench at the start of the fourth quarter. You can certainly credit some Knicks players for making shots, I suppose. But really, it was me arriving in my spot on the couch.
Are you willing to share a little bit of credit with Derrick Rose? Are you willing to give Derrick some?
I'll give him like a modest amount of the credit. What's his number now? 25. We'll go 25% of the credit going to the men in literally in the arena.
What is it about sports fandom that we know we don't have an impact intellectually, but we really do? I mean, here's the truth. It does shape people's behavior. Like, there are lots of people who will turn off the TV because they think they're causing it, or will change their shirt or whatever it is because they're like we know it's ridiculous, but we don't know it so well that we don't actually, or many of us, change our behavior in response to what we know is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there's at its best and its worst, this stuff can tap into like our lizard brain stuff, right? Like there are things about this that will defy logical processing, and you know, where even the most sort of empirical, high-minded robot person will be able to look at these things and just like lose their mind and in a sense of tribalism. Now, we've seen in the last 24 hours some really bad examples of that, where people need to tuck that stuff back away. We have done enough as a society to be allowed to be back inside of these arenas and buildings for things. Now let's be cool. Everybody, let's be pretty cool about how we're doing these things and not like spit on players or throw popcorn at them or yell at people's moms and stuff like that. Like, let's all be cool with the new privileges that we are returning to as we express our tribalism. But yeah, the ability to turn your brain off and approach this as like strictly emotional responses, there can be some real gold in those hills. And I think, if nothing, as you mentioned, I'm in my glory this morning, but I think an awful lot of Grizzlies fans should be having very similar responses to the way that team performed in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to get back to the Knicks here and you're all that in a moment, but let's focus for a instant on Ja Morant. What he did last night was, honestly, it reminded me a little of the Jordan Celtic series when he lost ultimately that series, but was the defining player in that series. He's just been, Ja has been extraordinary. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was somebody, one of my followers on Twitter had mentioned, you know, Derrick Rose when he was with the Bulls for that first series against the Celtics, where it was like a first round series where there was a couple of overtime games and it went seven, and it was before he was the MVP, but it was like, holy cow, okay, so this guy's here. And there's I think, you know, being able to do this on a team, like, everybody knows the offensive shortcomings the Grizzlies have in terms of their ability to space the floor, in terms of how things can get bogged down with that offense. Everybody knows that the Utah Jazz have made their money on the defensive side of the ball for, you know, whatever, 6 years now, by being able to turn the water off on teams that have those sort of fatal flaws on offense. And then sometimes special just changes things. And what Ja Morant is showing is special. Like, there, you know, are we going to price in some shooting regression? Yeah, probably. I don't think he's going to shoot 15 for 26 every night. You know, are we going to price in maybe with a couple of more games of film on him how Utah might be able to crank up his turnovers a little bit or try to get the ball out of his hands, you know, make it a little more uncomfortable for him in the pick and roll? Sure. I'm sure that, you know, that is a really good coaching staff and an elite defense, and I'm sure they will take advantage of the opportunities to try to figure some of those things out. But I don't think we can look at it and say that there's any, like, small sample nonsense to these dudes can't stay in front of him. That is just what that is. That is Ja Morant, again, you know, with all due respect to Mike Conley and to Royce O'Neal and to, you know, all the other, there's some great, great defensive players on that team. They can't stay in front of this kid. They just cannot. And when you pair that, like, the, you know, the God-given athleticism with a really just a staggeringly advanced level of craft in that screen game for a, you know, 20, 21-year-old, the way he's able to put guys in jail when he gets around the pick, snake it back around his big man, and, like, get them on his back so that he's controlling where they can go, and then sort of start playing shadow games with the dropping big man, whether it's Rudy Gobert or Derek Favors, to get to his spot and get to his shot. The floaters won't always fall, but he's controlling and dictating the action rather than having it dictated to him. And that, in a first playoff series for a guy this young with this much responsibility on his shoulders, is just, it's remarkable. And to be able to come away from, and I know it's disappointing, obviously, to give up 141 and lose when you had a chance to go up 2-0, but to leave the road in this series, not only tied, but with him looking the way he has looked, I think you have to feel incredibly good about where things are right now with the Grizzlies, and also where the arrow is pointing moving forward.
It's funny. I had an exchange with someone who said, "Yeah, we're all sort of wrestling between optimism and pessimism." I'm to the point where I just can't wait for Game Three. Like, I just because there's all the bile now, and the emotion, and the chippiness, and the greatness. Like, we're seeing, it's a fun series. It's actually become a really fun series, and yet I've heard from someone who said, "Yeah, Ja does that." Does that, a historic performance by Grizzlies standards, no one in franchise history, and let's be honest, no one in NBA history has had two better first games in the NBA playoffs than Ja, and they didn't cover, you know. So should,
good,
yeah.
Good teams win, great teams cover, right? Yeah.
How should you feel about it? Like, pretty much everyone, Dylan was good, he had his foul issues, but everyone else was either in foul trouble or bad from the Grizzlies. So what do you make of that?
I think you make of it that you went into Utah against the team that had the best record in the NBA this season and has a one of the, especially when there's fans in the building, one of the, like, most renowned for, home court advantages in the sport. And you took one, and you damn near took two, because yes, the Grizzlies had problems defensively all night. Yes, the other guys weren't up to the levels they would hope for. But that monster second half run put that was like a 2-3 possession game for a bit there, and there was a chance, there was an opportunity, and I don't think Utah felt particularly great about it. So I think you come away from that feeling like, if nothing else, you are not outclassed in this series. You come back to Memphis and, like, yeah, say, you know, if the whistle loosens up a little bit, or if Taylor Jenkins loosens up a little bit, honestly, and some of the willingness to play through some of that foul trouble we saw with Dylan Brooks at certain points. But, you know, there needs to be more minutes with multiple, as many of those four guys, Ja, Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, and Dylan Brooks, as often as possible, those four guys need to be on the floor. I looked this up, and I had to double-check it because to make sure that my eyes weren't deceiving me. In those, with those four guys on the floor, they have outscored the Jazz by 24 points in 49 minutes. They shoot 60% from the field with those four guys on the floor through two games. Obviously, small sample, et cetera, but that's who you are. That's what you need to have, is the ability to continually puncture that defense, and you do that off the dribble with Brooks and Ja, and you do it with Jonas bulldozing inside and attacking the glass. And that's the way. That's the only way you're going to beat this team is by hammering them that way. So all that said, there is a path. They've shown that there is one. The Grizzlies' big problem is that they can't score, and yet here they are beating up a great defense. So if that's true, and if your biggest problem is you need to get other guys back going, well, the old adage is that role players tend to play better at home. Obviously, we've seen some difficulties for the second unit for the last little bit now. So it's not like you just pencil in that Grayson Allen's going to break through or that D'Anthony Melton's going to get everything going straight or whatever. But if you give me a looser whistle, home cooking, and the opportunity for some of those guys in the second unit to get a little more comfortable with where their opportunities are going to come from, I think there's a shot. And I think if you're looking at it, like, it's easy to get bogged down in the weeds when you're going game to game and minutes by minutes and rotations and adjustments and everything. This is an 8 seed that is 1-1 against a team that had the best record in the NBA. It's all gravy right now. That doesn't mean you can't get greedy, but I think looking at this from a pessimistic viewpoint is doing yourself a disservice in a moment where you should probably be trying to grab as much joy as you can with both hands.
And it's funny, like Taylor Jenkins is a fine coach and all of that. He's not the most quotable fellow ever. And he said last night, he said, we can beat him. Like, and that's not the kind of thing that Taylor Jenkins says. He said it twice. He said, we know we can beat him. That's what they took away from this. Like, you went out there and you gave them everything they could handle, and now you're coming back, and it feels like a series, like a real series, not like a we stole one, let's wait till next year. So what do you do, by the way? You said the Grizzlies' problem is they can't score, and that has historically been their problem, or issues with scoring coming and going. They had a problem last night. They could not stop the pick and roll, particularly in the fourth quarter. That's what Utah does. Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert just tore them up. What's the answer there?
Well, I'm going to hope that Taylor Jenkins has a better one than I do. But it's right. It starts. This is the flip side of the Ja is special issue, is that Ja is also is graded out as one of the worst defensive point guards in the league, and that's youth, and that's seasoning, and that's also, like, that's not what he does best. It takes learning how to be the tip of the spear on that end and apply that athleticism and those instincts on that end. It's going to take some time, and that's a challenge. In this moment, I think, obviously it's going to start with, can you prevent Utah from attacking you're that weak spot? Can you in what ways can you kind of hide Ja, or minimize his level of the degree to which he can be exploited? I'm not sure. It depends on what lineups that they're running out there. If it's Royce O'Neal's on the floor, maybe you see if you can stash Ja there. And if they're going to start using him as the screener and roll man, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily what Utah wants to do on a lot of their possessions. But you want to try to maybe make guys that they want less involved do that. You need. The challenge of going against a guy as seasoned as Mike Conley, too, is obviously Memphis wants to play in that drop. They want to be able to get Jonas getting back towards the paint, unfurling those arms and, taking away passing lanes and walling off the rim. Mike's obviously got plenty of experience playing in that style and against guys in that style, getting to his floater or getting to his reads, the automatic reads, once he gets into the paint or gets down towards the free throw line against dropping bigs. So you need to be solid on your rotations. You need the help needs to be there. Dylan Brooks needs to be, as he has been, an absolute nuisance and bat out of hell, staying attached to the ball handler, just locking up and trying to avoid fouling as best he can. Being able to be aggressive and, like, right up to that line, which obviously sometimes, he goes over that, but you'd much rather have to have a guy try to tamp that down than have to put it into a guy. And Dylan Brooks certainly brings plenty of that aggression to the assignments that he gets. And, it's about, Utah is at its best when they can collapse the defense, draw the help, and then start swinging the ball around the perimeter. There's a lot of people that have made the stylistic comparison to those 2014 Spurs, where it's just swing, 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 and then all of a sudden there's an open three. Swing, 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 and there's an open three. They shoot a ton of them. They shoot at a high percentage, and when they don't, that's when the other things can get gummed up. When they do, you're in for a long night. I don't know that there's like a perfect answer tactically for what they can do, but you can't. You got to try to play the pick and roll as best you can, 2-on-2, stay home on those shooters, avoid giving up the store. And if Mike Conley is going to make a bunch of floaters, or if Donovan Mitchell is going to make a bunch of floaters, unfortunately, that might be the best outcome a lot of times, because you'd rather give up two, be trading twos for twos as opposed to the other way around.
Do you think it's going to be a game six?
I wouldn't bet against it. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Utah, but I don't think that Utah is necessarily a put the hammer down, blow you off the floor for the next two games and go home ready to close it out type of team. I don't think it's that. I think it's more get a split, go back. I mean, and maybe I'm wrong. Now they have Donovan Mitchell back in the lineup. Obviously, they were able to get to what they wanted offensively late in the game, as you mentioned, in the fourth quarter. And maybe that's something that they're able to ride that wave, and it's about to kind of collapse over the top of the Grizzlies. But I don't know. I feel less confident in Utah's ability to just completely wipe them out than you might have before the series. So, yeah, I'd say, I mean, like, I'm not putting money on any of it unless I'm putting your money on it. But, yeah, sure. I think if you're a Grizzlies fan, and I feel like I'm hitting the same note a lot of times when we talk, because if nothing else, I feel it's really important to emphasize the search for joy in this time. Like, if you're a Grizzlies fan, you should feel it's pretty fantastic. Positive about the chance of that happening, of extending this out, because you have shown an ability to throw some punches at the Jazz that they've had some trouble countering. And even when the Grizzlies got down big last night, they kept chopping, and the Jazz didn't put them away, didn't wipe them out, which is, I think, what it would take to kind of get to that point where it's, we're going to skunk you four straight. I don't know that the Jazz are that team, and if they're not, then I think the Grizzlies have a chance, because I don't think the Grizzlies are going to stop throwing punches.
We don't spend a lot of time out here in the hinterlands feeling good about New Yorkers, feeling happy for New Yorkers, really. But it was impossible not to feel happy for New Yorkers last night. What a great scene that was.
Well, that's kind of you to say, but listen, I am a New Yorker, and I don't spend a whole lot of time feeling great about New Yorkers. I think that's one of the defining characteristics of New Yorkers, is our inability to do that. I would say I try not to get too far afield on the, like, that the NBA is better when the Knicks are good. Because I guess maybe in part because for most of my adult life, I haven't really had much to compare it to. But I have always believed that general sense of, like, when there are games of consequence to be played at Madison Square Garden, that environment's awesome. And that certainly seemed to be the case last night. And I think what was encouraging, if you're a Knicks fan or somebody who wants to see a fun series, right? Like, even if you take the 10,000-foot view, the way that Trae Young is, like, absolutely, like, lovingly taking on the heel role in this relationship, and also being really good at it. Like, the 30 points in consecutive games to start his postseason career, the game winner in game one, and then also, like, if you're judging how you feel, the quality of a player by how you feel when that guy gets the ball late in the game or in the fourth quarter, or maybe more accurately, when that guy doesn't get the ball, do you feel a sigh of relief? Trae Young is ascending that list and establishing himself in that regard. And if the Knicks aren't able to make him pay defensively, then he's going to be able to be the best player on the floor in the series. That's going to be a tough thing for the Knicks. But seeing that comeback, seeing that crowd swell, hearing the vibe of that, and then feeling what that looked like and felt like, it's been a long time in coming. And I think it was really touching after the game. Taj Gibson, who's born in Brooklyn, native New Yorker, obviously has had a career that's taken him all over the NBA, but now is back in the later stage of his career here, back with Tom Thibodeau and in New York. Got really emotional talking about it after the game, the feeling of, like, him. He said, when I was early in my career, first, second year in the league, and talking with Tibbs, who had been an assistant on those Jeff Van Gundy teams, and that last bastion of relevance that the Knicks had, talking about what it would be like to do it here. And, like, that's something that a decade ago they were talking about, what it would be like, what it would feel like. and him just saying, like, it's surreal and it's special and it's something that I kind of, I'm not taking it for granted. And I think that's maybe the right approach for everybody. It's one thing if you are a blue blood or you are a team that is a fan of a team that is, like, on, you know, expected to be in the Final Four or expected to be in that running. Then, you know, yeah, every pickle, every, you know, sort of a stumbling block along the way feels like an inconvenience and a nuisance. But if you are not that, if you are a franchise that is either building something from whole cloth or trying to recover something that has been lost along the way, you got to just take it for granted. You can't take it for granted. You got to appreciate it while it's here. And I don't know that I expected to see that, to see Madison Square Garden like that for a Knicks game of consequence. I don't know when I expected it to come. I certainly didn't expect it to be this season. So that there is that it was that they're heading back to Atlanta feeling pretty good about themselves, even though they've lost home court, that they, you know, that they're 1-1 with, despite Randall not being able to play, having not played up to his standard, all that. I think there's a lot to feel good about. You can go, it's a glass half full, glass half empty, and I think you should choose the glass half full right now. Let's say that.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it. Love having you back, and I love having the Knicks back as well. Talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Take care.
That's Dan Devine from The Ringer. Read his stuff over at The Ringer. I like that he was. I do think people are joyous around Memphis. Don't you think? I mean, this is a blast.
Yeah, this is the classic nothing to lose. You know what I mean?
Totally,
so you can just kind of enjoy it.
It's just absolutely. Well, and the other thing is, and I was listening to Matt Moore talk about this on Jason and John yesterday. Like, this is fun. But, like, with all due respect to the Knicks, I don't think you can look at the Knicks and say, and it's going to be fun for the next 10 years.
No, I mean, this feels like a team that was built to
I mean, it's got Derrick Rose.
Right.
So you feel happy for Derrick Rose.
It's got Taj Gibson. It's veterans.
Yeah, it's built around their overachieving veterans. Obviously, they have some talented young players mixed in, but
Julius Randle's been awesome this year.
I mean, he's been tremendous. Julius Randle's been tremendous. But even Julius Randle, like, how old is he now? 29?
When we look this up, I think he's only 27.
Is that right? He's only 27. Still, you don't feel the same type of way about Julius Randle the way you do about John Moran.
Correct.
Right? In terms of incandescent future. And I was listening to Matt Moore talk about the Grizzlies yesterday.
Sorry, he's 26. He'll be 27 November.
It was just going on about the room for improvement. Well, let's be honest. Jaren Jackson's lost, right?
I mean, right now he doesn't look comfortable on the floor for large portions of it.
Last year you got to a point where he was teeing up a three.
You were just like, count it.
An open three? Count it. Now it's like, you know, and then he gets pushed around. He's got like, I don't believe that Jaren Jackson Jr. is what he, this is what he is forever. I just don't believe it. Now, maybe he'll come back next year and we'll see that. But literally, he was supposed to be your best player. He's not one of your four best players now. He may or may not be one of your five best players now. And so if he goes back to being your second best player, that's a pretty, there's a leap there, right? I don't know that D'Anthony Melton is forever ruined, just as he is at the end of this second. The end of two seasons in a row now, he's gone in the tank. And I don't know that he's forever, you know. I don't know that prime D'Anthony Melton is what he's going to be forever, but there's certainly room for improvement there. Xavier Tillman, like, he's a freaking second-round rookie, for God's sakes, you know. Desmond Bane, what he's doing, you know, outside of the lottery rookie.
Yeah.
Like, I guess Kyle might not get much better. Jonas might not get much better. But there's no reason they're going to stop doing what they're doing.
No, and sometimes, though, getting better, I think we always think of when you get better, like you somehow get drastically improved at some skill or something. What we've seen from Jonas this year, I didn't really think he could improve. What we've seen from him this year is he has gotten incredibly more consistent. Kyle, incredibly more consistent. And if that is indeed the case, I mean, there's still something there. I mean, neither one of them are 30 yet.
Yeah. I mean, the immediate future is bright, and the long horizon is looking pretty promising as well. Cooper Systems is the place to go for all of your computer needs. And that is true. Let's be honest. Father's Day is coming up. Does your father need the father in your life need a speedy new computer? The answer is yes. Would it make him happy? The answer is yes. Or your graduate. I have gotten laptops as graduation presents for my kids. Because what more can they use? And when you get them a graduate, like, they're going to love it because they're going to be playing video games on it, right? And you're going to love it because you're going to think, oh my gosh, this is going to make my kid get straight A's. Like, this computer, he's going to need a new computer. He or she, I say he because I had boys, setting out on a new adventure to wherever college is going to be, and I set him off and whatever. And so they're happy, you're happy, and then you can also be happy because you're paying less than you would at a big box store. Got the same computers, Apple, Lenovo, Dell, whatever you need, and you can know that you're paying less. So whether it's for a grad or whether it's for a dad, Cooper Systems is the place to go. 360-9679, 360-9679, located in the Mount Moriah Office Park. When we come back, Chris Harrington is going to join us. He has a piece up at the Daily Memphian. He did a live blog, old school. That's now old school, last night at the Daily Memphian. And he had, I just tweeted it out, six quick post-game reactions at the top of his Grizzlies Jazz live blog.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.